This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Lord, we seek you, and you seek us. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Is that better? All right. Thank you for waving. So that was a prayer, my going up in that tree to find peace. Zacchaeus, in climbing the tree today, I think was also a prayer. He was seeking God. He was seeking the Lord. Just to recap, remember, we've been on this long trip with Jesus, and now he's coming through Jericho. And one of the stories that we haven't talked about in our Gospels is something that happened just before today's story. And that is that the people were bringing to him little children to be blessed. And the disciples would rebuke them and say, no, don't bother him, don't bother him. And what did Jesus say? Do you remember? Let the little children come to me. And not only that, but that's how you're supposed to be if you want to enter the kingdom of God. Like a little child. And a little child shall lead them. So that's fresh on the mind, hopefully, of all the disciples and everybody that was following him. So hold that thought. It's going to be important in how today's story is informed. So with that teaching that just happened, this big crowd is traveling with Jesus and the disciples, and Zacchaeus now was this rich and powerful man. He was not only a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, which means he was kind of the head honcho in cahoots with the Roman government to steal from the people and charge them more than what they really owed. Frequently in the Bible, you hear the phrase tax collectors and sinners together, because that's how they were thought about. The townspeople couldn't stand him, And here he was. This rich and powerful man. And the thing of it is that he was short in nature. And for some reason, he wanted to see Jesus. And so he couldn't get through the crowd. Now, normally, if somebody had been liked and was rich and powerful, they would have split the crowd and let him through, right? Here he comes, but not Zacchaeus. And he kind of probably knew that. So knowing that Jesus is coming, he went on his way and he climbed a tree. So he could see Jesus. It's important to take a minute and think about that. Even today, rich and powerful men do not climb trees to get a better look at somebody. Not usually, at least, although I did find something in popular, more contemporary times that was contrary to this. It's a guy by the name of John Badeau in the early 1960s was the Egyptian ambassador. And he was in Egypt, in Cairo, at the embassy, and he was helping to set up for a party that they were going to have there. And he climbed up a tree in the backyard to hang some lights because he wanted it to be real festive. Well, that wouldn't have been any big deal to you or me, you would think, but because it was so unheard of for this important guy to be climbing a tree, that this buzz went out around Egypt and got all the way to then-President Nasser. And the next time this ambassador was with the president, he asked him if it was true, if he actually had climbed a tree. The ambassador probably didn't think much of it. But rich and powerful men don't usually climb trees to see somebody. Zacchaeus, whether he knew it or not, had begun to humble himself. He had begun to become like a little child, like that teaching. He had climbed up in a tree, and you can just picture him up in this big tree, hoping nobody will see him, and he's peeking out of the bushes, you know, trying to get a glimpse of this guy, Jesus, and who he was. He had become like a little child in his heart, hoping Jesus wouldn't see him, but see him he did. Not only did he see him, but he said, "Get down here now, because I'm coming to your house. I'm going to have dinner at your place." Zacchaeus must have been instantly convicted of anything in his heart that wasn't okay, all the stealing he had done, because then he started to talk and say, "I will give back everything I stole and more, 4 times more than what I stole. I'll give back." And he was healed. He was healed because Jesus could see who he really was, the core of him, not who he had become. And that's how it is with God. He sees the Holy One of us, not some of our behavior, but who we really are as children of God. We don't have to earn it. There's a reading in Isaiah that the Lord is saying, "Enough with your sacrifices and your blood sacrifices and your this and your that. Just do good. Just follow me. You don't have to earn anything. Just follow me." And in the early days of Jesus' time, when he was gone and these new communities were forming and they were being persecuted and even killed, letters were going back and forth, right? In the epistles, we call them today, letters were going to encourage people to stick together, to stick together, to see one another as holy, and to hold truth to that in love and peace and not retaliating. That's why we gather together in churches like this and in congregations, so that we can support one another in our holiness. In our holiness. I'm reminded of this quote, Sherry, if you would put it up, from T.S. Eliot. Some of you may have heard it from Little Gidding. "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." And know the place for the first time within us that we are loved and holy. So I'd like to challenge you now. All of you should have received the little piece of paper with the children in the tree, right? If you could share with somebody else if you didn't get one. And take a look at all those children and just humble yourselves now for a moment. And if you had to pick one of those children, where would you be on that tree? Does anybody need one? You need one, Jim? I talked to a few of you before today, and you agreed to share where you would be on this tree. And the question is, who are you on this tree? Which child? And then, where do you want to be? And then, how are you going to get there? Suzanne, would you be willing to go first? Thank you for agreeing in advance. You got to hold that mic real close to your mouth.
Okay. I think that I am the little girl who is climbing the ladder. She looks like she's struggling a little bit.
In the middle there?
Yeah. And I think, honestly, if I could pick one where I would like to be, it's not on there, because I think I'd like to be one that's helping someone else on the tree.
That's helping somebody else on the tree itself. Okay, thank you. And Sue and Chuck Honer agreed also. Thank you, guys. Hold it real close to your mouth.
I think right now, Chuck and I have been married for 42 years, so we're going through this together. And I feel like kind of in the middle there, the little dark-haired girl, and above her is the boy that's helping her. I kind of feel like we're in this together, helping each other get around maneuvering on that tree. And as far as the future goes, well, you know, I'm a grandmother. I've had a lot of seasons in my life, and I've been all over that tree, I think. And I think that, like Ecclesiastes 3 says, that to every time there is a season, and for every everything there is a season, and for every time there's a purpose under heaven. And I think that as long as I keep living, I'm going to end up all over that tree between the mountaintop with the little boy way up the top and falling down off the tree and getting back up again.
Thank you. Chuck.
Okay.
Hold it real close.
Looking at the tree, I could see many stages of my life, my spiritual life in particular, but especially more recently, I was like the little boy on the top of the tree there, and then, boom, I'm on the ground with my head spinning, and not knowing how I got there, and then climbing back up, and today I feel more like the little boy on the left there who's kind of leaning back against the branch and isn't really sure what he's doing, whether he's climbing up the tree or getting down the tree. But he's just sort of sitting there waiting for something to happen.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you all. So at any point in our lives, we could see ourselves at some place on this tree, or maybe not. Maybe you don't see yourself on that tree. But no matter where it is, God sees us for who we really are, who we really are. And when we can focus on that, we get help. We get help and guidance and the assurance that no matter where we are in that tree, we're going to have that for a season, like somebody said, Sue, and we'll be able to look back on it and have that faith in God to pull us through because God sees us as holy. It's huge. We're still going through some of my mom's things, believe it or not. She died a couple years ago, but my siblings and I were going through some books and photographs, and I ran across this little book by Susan Trott. It's called The Holy Man. It's a real easy read. I recommend it highly. I don't know if it's out of print. It's from 1995. And in it, it's an allegory. You could read it probably in a week, and it's about this holy man on the top of a mountain. And thousands of people are coming to find him to seek his wisdom. And they are willing to camp out for a month at a time because the line is so long and the mountain's so high. And they get to know each other along the way. And as you're reading it, you realize that the people in this book and their problems and their questions for the Holy One are our questions, are our phases in life. And so they couldn't figure out how this guy was seeing so many people in a summertime, thousands and thousands of people coming up the mountain, and the line was moving. And they finally figured it out when they got to the top, obviously. They'd get to the door, and they'd knock, and this guy would open the door, and he had on a beige robe, kind of, you know, monk-like. And they knew it was a community, like a monastery, and he'd answer the door, and he'd say, "May I help you?" To each person, he would ask that question. And the person would say, "Well, yes, I'm here to see the Holy Man. I'm here to see the Holy One. I have a question." "Oh, well, good. Well, follow me." And he'd take them back and go down this long hallway, doors on either side, all the way to the end of the hallway, and open the back door and guide them out and say, "Bye." And they'd say, "Well, wait, I came to see the Holy One." And the man said, "You've seen him. You've seen him." And then he would add, "If you look on everyone as a holy person, you will be happy." They had missed it. And the healings happened mostly on the way back down that mountain, when you get to hear their thoughts and their ruminations about all the problems that they came up with. And it's just a fascinating tale, and the realization that they are holy and loved. Zacchaeus took off his mask in seeking Jesus. He became humble and vulnerable and like a little child, was willing to look for God, something outside of himself. I wonder what masks we have to take off I would encourage you to take that little exercise home and maybe journal with it. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you in your own way. This I know. Jesus Christ knows you, knows me, and loves us with a love so fierce and so strong that no matter what, we're with him, and the Holy Spirit resides within us. And now I offer you a prayer written by John O'Donohue in his book, To Bless the Space Between Us. Let us pray. Gentle Jesus, who walks with us in this journey of life, may we have the courage to take the step into the unknown that calls to us. May we trust that a richer life awaits us there, and that we will lose nothing but that which has already died. May we feel the deeper knowing in us, sure of all that is about to be born beyond the pale frames where we stayed confined, not realizing how much vacant endurance was bleaching our soul's desire. Amen.